Okay, moms, happy Mother's Day. So glad that you're here. We love you. Thank you for what you do. I want to say a couple thank yous. If you have been around ministry long, one of my favorite things to do is child dedications, and I was all prepared to do it, and then I called on Friday, I think it was, and I asked Luke Broder. I said, Luke, I can't be able to do this, and I got to tell you, we have a gift in Luke. He's an incredibly wonderful man, and I'm so grateful for him. So that's just a quick thanks. As I say for our worship team, everybody, God has blessed us with so many wonderful hearts. And then the other thing I wanted to mention to you is you see me kind of limping around here. Some of you know, some of you don't. 10 days ago, I had a total knee replacement. So I'm kind of, I'm trying to take it easy. So for me, cutting back on the dedications of taking it easy, but I'm so excited because I did not want to miss the opportunity to introduce Tani, a mom who has been able to steward a gift. But before we get to that, I just want to share with you that if you were to think about, you know how you get into a mall or you get into an airport or you're getting into a place where that is new and you're kind of a little bit lost, you always look for a map and what does it say on there? You are here. I want you to think about your journey right now. And let maybe the thoughts come and maybe the Spirit of God will impress something on you. But if you're looking at your map and it says you are here, that could mean a number of different things. It could mean where you're at in your marriage. It could be where you're at in your family life and development with your grandparent, whatever. It could be where you're at in your career. It could be where you're at in your spiritual journey. When we look at these series we've been in called Identity Shift, there are those moments in time, and they're recorded in Scripture, and they're the kind of what I call you are here moments. And one of those you are here moments is found in Luke chapter 5 in the story of Levi. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. I remember reading that and they go, how does that happen? This is a you are here moment. We're seeing an identity shift. Everything changed in many ways in Levi's life from that point on. And then it says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples. Didn't go to Jesus, right? You always go to the ones underneath that maybe we'll get some ground with them. And they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And then Jesus gets corralled in and has answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And in some ways, you maybe have been on a road where God is leading you toward this, or you may have recently been in one of those places. There is one of the great things that happens in our life is when we realize what we cannot do and that only what God can do are one of those you are here moments of a real shift. But what I find in this passage, it's really interesting. If you read Matthew, it says in chapter 9, and it's interesting, he's not called Levi. Matthew was Levi, first writer, first gospel that you see in the scripture written for the Jews, a guy who was so far away from being one of the followers of Jesus in the sense of being a tax collector, rejected so much of what his people, probably saw the duplicity and everything else in the church of his day. And he just said, I'm going to make money. And he says, Jesus went from there and he saw a man in Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. In Matthew, he never acknowledges his old name, which is an interesting thing. He makes his shift and his shift has changed in some powerful ways. But I used to think of Jesus coming along, and here's Levi. He's in this tax collector's booth and Jesus says, come follow me. And it's like, well, how does that, what? Until I began to really pray and consider and understand this passage of Scripture, this was all about a journey, just like you are on a journey. He was on a journey. And you find in Matthew, the chapter that he writes, it's not till chapter 9 that he comes in. This is after the Sermon on the Mount is given. This is after a whole bunch of miracles. It's then that Jesus calls him. And so it's very possible, and in fact, I really think this is the case, that he has been on a journey, like some of you are, and understanding right now that you are in a process. Some of you in a place of grief. Some of you in a place of excitement. Some of you in a place of questioning. Some of you may be discouraged. disappointed. Well, what I want to share with you is I'm excited for Tani to come and share her story, because I happened upon your journey almost 10 years ago. And your son, Josiah, who was diagnosed with a severe autism, that happened probably when he was 3 or 4. I can't remember what age it was, but it was around this time when we met and God had begun to do some things in your life, and you shared that. But I thought, wow, she had spoke here about 10 years ago, spoke at a women's retreat, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool in this series right here to have someone who's been journeying with us come and share where you're at right now and what God's doing. So, Tani, we are so glad you're here. Tani Cullen, and representing in a sense, come on up, and her son, Josiah. So we are so glad you're here. You know, these moms have nothing else to do here today, so just take your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me in your house. In fact, this is the very first time that also my son has been able to be in an entire regular church service. So, you've given me all the feels already on Mother's Day, so here we go. Facebook has a memories button. You familiar with that? Where you can press this button and you can see what you posted a year ago, 2 years ago, even 10 years ago. And I always find it interesting, especially on Mother's Day and on your children's birthdays, to just see this visual account of how they've grown and how you've grown as well. Josiah, it's amazing to see how God is showing me lately in those memories his faithfulness through all these years in our journey. And in fact, during really great and wonderful seasons and during some really hard and difficult seasons. But for myself and my husband Joe and my son Josiah and our little almost 15-year-old dog Lucy, God has been faithful. And now that Josiah is 19 years old and I have 16 years worth of Facebook to look back to, I remember MySpace, I'm that old, pushing 50 years old, and I have just this nostalgic feeling these days. I remember very distinctly my mom telling me, "You know, Tani, the days are long, but the years are short." And that is so true. Though Josiah still continues to need 24/7 support for his disability, something really beautiful has emerged since he's become an adult. And it's been a really interesting thing because not only are we his parents, but we've moved into a place of friendship and even partnering so that we can support him to pursue his dreams, his joys, his desires, his passions, his identity. His own deep relationship with Jesus has helped us to learn so much and to hope for wholeness. Just this week, I saw a memory on Josiah's Fire Facebook page from 6 years ago. This is excerpted from a poem that he wrote 6 years ago. "Rushing to string along a song of hope, I find trust. I take this artful faith and say, you will hear me sing. Wider than my mouth, I greet my trust in my soul. It knows a song, even if it doesn't retrieve a sound. Reliably, so I will find a song deeper than my vocals. Reasons to sing live in the sounds of the Spirit, and so then sings my soul. You will hear me sing," wrote my non-speaking autistic son. "And today, in your house, I get to, as a mother, hear my son sing." Thank you for that honor. He's a deeply good young man who doesn't just need ministering to, but he deeply needs to do ministry as well. I still vividly remember his diagnosis day. After 2 days of evaluation, we sat in a clinic boardroom, doctors around the table, and we were handed a folder, and on the outside there was a label that said, Autism Spectrum Disorder. I opened up the folder, and these words just leapt off the page at me. No known cause, no known cure, lifelong. And it was as if a gavel just dropped on our lives, a sentence passed. We had named our son Josiah, which means fire of the Lord. In fact, we dedicated him with Zephaniah 3:17 as his life verse. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I didn't know you guys were having child dedication today. But you know, in that season, none of that felt true. None of it. Josiah had been developing typically. He was healthy. He was sociable. He was meeting all his medical milestones. But around 19 months old, something shifted very dramatically. He lost eye contact with us. He stopped responding to his name. Instead of playing with his toys like he used to, he would just turn the toys over and spin wheels, look up at fans, flip light switches on and off. It felt like we were losing him, and it was terrifying. And even though we named him Fire of the Lord, it just seemed like his pilot light had gone out. We knew autism was a broad spectrum. We had no idea how severe or mild it would be at that time, as the terms that they called it. And his prognosis was daunting. Significant communication challenges, difficulty with social interaction, and behaviors that could affect every aspect of life. So we hit the ground running. We dove headfirst into early intervention therapies, and still there were so many complications, immune system problems, gut issues, disrupted sleep, poor motor planning and motor skill difficulties, fears, impulsivity. And at age 5, we got an addendum to the autism spectrum diagnosis, and it was nonverbal, low functioning, and severe, what they might call today profound autism. We were told he would likely never speak, and if he did, it would be by using pictures to communicate maybe his very basic needs or wants. He never was able to progress beyond, I want cookie. Everything around us seemed to say, cope. You're going to have to manage this diagnosis. Every single thing in life was put under pressure. But I cried out to God and I said, you said that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us and give us hope in a future. Do you mean that for my son? Does my son still have hope in a future? I searched the Bible looking everywhere that I could find for biblical advice on how to cope well. I could not find it. Every example was hope. Hope beyond hope. There was no example of coping, only hoping. Now, we certainly weren't perfect in this, but we decided we're going to speak life over Josiah. We were going to speak into his personhood and not just manage that label, autism. And then when Josiah was six, I learned about a method that was helping non-speaking autistic individuals communicate by pointing to letters one at a time to spell out words. It began with a stencil board where they'd poke through using a pencil, and then it led to a laminated letter board, alphabetical, and then eventually to be able to spell on a keyboard or an iPad. And I thought, I have to get this for my son. So we received training, and there we were told, presume age-level intelligence. They said, talk to him and educate him as if he's his age. This is likely a motor and planning problem and a rhythm issue, a sensory issue, not a cognitive one. This is a mind-body disconnect. This completely challenged everything that I knew and all of my assumptions. It shattered it. I had been looking at him all wrong. So Josiah began to show that he was in there and that he understood all along, even though if on the outside, it really didn't look like that at all. About a year in, we were working on this, you know, at least three times a week, 25 minutes a day, and it was super challenging. But about a year in, on September 15th, 2012, I was working with him on a lesson, and I'm thinking that I am teaching him how to spell these four and five letter words, right? So this particular evening, I'm reading with him from the children's Bible about how Jesus healed the blind man. So I read that to him and I say, Josiah, Jesus healed the blind man. What did Jesus do? Did he H-E-A-L heal the blind man or did he P-L-A-Y play with the blind man? Write that on a piece of paper, rip the paper in half, or tap on heal, tap on play. He tapped heal appropriately and I said, okay, let's spell heal. We happen to have, as you can see on that the iPad has the letterboard as an app on it. And so he was using that at the time. He presses G. It's like, oh, he's missing it. Then he presses O. Like, go? He goes on to spell his first ever independent sentence, God is a good gift giver. I was stunned. I thought, am I on candid camera or something? Have I just cracked? Well, that is just the beginning of what started. That phrase, interestingly, when I look back, really has become our thesis statement for life. God is a good gift giver, and God has continued to prove himself that so many times, even in the hardest times, especially in the hardest times. We were getting to know our son for the first time. His vocabulary blossomed in a way that I never imagined and I honestly couldn't explain. One day I asked Josiah, how do you know how to spell these words? How do you know all this? And he spelled, Jesus taught me the order of sounds. And I was like, Jesus gave you Hooked on Phonics? Thank you, Lord. Soon he began to write beautiful, profound statements and share wisdom that I knew that he was not hearing or picking up anywhere in this natural world. Things like, faith is picture it done. And faith is believing for kites to fly when there's no wind in sight. Things like that. One day he wrote, I share all these inspiring quotes. It's nutty to me that you don't post them on Facebook. I didn't even know he knew what Facebook was. Well, with much fear and trepidation, because I was like, no one's going to believe this, I started a page called Josiah's Fire. And, you know, mom can join, friends can join, and I started posting these little quotes and poetry blips that he would write out. And eventually, this collection of poetry turned into thoughtful and powerful prose over time. And through a series of unexpected, even miraculous events, we ended up publishing our book, Josiah's Fire, Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. This kind of brings you up through about age 11. So he's 19 today, so lots happened since then. God has done one miracle after another. Josiah is walking in a prophetic and poetic gifting that continues to this day. And in fact, I believe Max Davis is also someone who has been invited to this house to share about how God used Josiah as an unlikely messenger in his life. So he has a book out called Jesus, Josiah, and Me as well. And Josiah loves history today. He loves philosophy and psychology and neuroscience and theology. He actually, since COVID, I started homeschooling him creatively. And it has been amazing because we've been able to take things at our own pace and really work through the things that he really wants to. Now, the school years were decidedly much more challenging, but what God has done in this time of hiddenness, in this time of the two of us just working together day after day, I just praise him for it. So today, he is actually, he creates these care packs that he assembles. We work on his motor skills by assembling care packs for seniors and for those that are going through cancer treatments today. So when we were able to bring purpose to his motor skills, all of a sudden that brought life to him wanting to engage with those things. He's also joined up with another speller and mom, and the four of us are on this little entrepreneurial journey called Kernels of Joy. It's popcorn and poetry and gifts, and we're doing that together as a family. And though physically it's still a lot of effort for him to type one letter at a time, he very much has movement issues. He gives it everything he's got, and we are training his body to move in sync. He loves Jesus with his whole heart. He has drawn us in time and time again when we have felt like we've wanted to give up. After the book came out, something really wild started happening. I started getting messages from people all over the place saying, "Your story is our story." And I was like, "What?" I could never find anybody that this was happening to. And now I've collected over 100 families that are Christian families whose children are autistic, non-speaking, and have started spelling this way, who love Jesus. We've met some of them, and some of them, they even have Bible study. We do Zoom Bible studies with them over Zoom. They are encouraging one another, and they are the most profound thinkers. And just led by the Spirit in so many ways. He's reaching them, God is reaching them in ways that only he can. Because, you know, we parents, we educators, we can only do so much, but do we trust God to go into those places of hiddenness in the soul and the spirit where only he can reach? Because so many of these kids love Jesus. They're long misunderstood, they're long misunderstood. Represented, and he is finding them just like he did with Levi, just like he did with Matthew. He is calling them by name, and he's saying, "Follow me." Church, we need to know that this is happening. Didn't God say, "I will use the simple things to confound the wise"? May this be happening in our day. Be aware of it. In the final chapter of Josiah's fire, Josiah, when he was 11, wrote this. "My name is busy poet, musician of worship, prophetic seer, and daring boy that loves my God. To say I am Josiah, which is God's fire, is to say my name and my goal." And once you know it, that is exactly who Josiah is today. We are so proud of Josiah just as he is. And at the same time, we are so expectant on this journey to continue to press into healing and health and wholeness, just as God has said he would do. God is giving him his voice. He cares about the desires of parents' hearts, but he also cares about the desires of those children's hearts. Nothing's impossible with God. In fact, Josiah uses this phrase a lot, limits off. Limits off. Mamas, for ourselves and for our children, no matter what your situation may be, I encourage you, search out always what God says about you and what God says about your child. Not what society says, not what a label says. You go and see what God says about them. What is their name? How has he been calling them? For many years, we navigated this journey largely on our own and in a cocoon. But this past year, God has surrounded us with local therapy system in every direction. They are lifting us up, including Josiah's extraordinary neurologic music therapist that we found, who also is able to spell with him. And she found a way to bring voice to the music that has been in his heart. So with that, what's great is he was able to open that up with her, and he's able to do that with me at home now, and he's just creating songs like crazy. So with that, I allow you to take a look now. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm Beth Susag, and I am Josiah's neurologic music therapist, and I've been working with Josiah for almost a year now. And one of the things that Josiah has shown me is his poetry and his amazing ability to write and create poems. And we together were talking about how to transfer that into a music form. Over a couple of sleepless nights of trying to figure out how do I bring a band in here and create whatever's in his mind and make the music match his poetry, that was pretty challenging until I discovered an AI program that we could drop his lyrics into the music and transfer basically his poetry and make it into music form. It's a really wonderful practice for him to be able to be creative in a different way, but then also to actually hear it come out. He could select the voice. He could select whether it was a male or female voice. He could select if he wanted piano or more guitar or jazzy or dance, more dance-like or more solemn. And so it was a real wonderful creative process that just took his poetry to the next level. And for him to be able to hear the sounds and say yes or no was really, like, if he liked it or if he didn't, was completely his process. And his first song was Me, You, Us. And since then, he has, I think, made almost 11 songs.
Provide for me, Father. I'm lost without your hand. Gift us joys like jails open again. Pain is locked, I don't understand. Should I long for love if you give it freely? How is it held if I am poor inside? God, I try to lose my self-image, but you say a poet am I. Will you pray with me? Be in unity. Joy is true. It is me. If I hear God, I limp from Jacob's ladder. How will I pray like the preachers I hear. They pray like you are far, but you're near.
What a gift. We are followers of Jesus. We have been given the opportunity because of the Spirit of God in us to love like Jesus. Jesus looked at a man, Levi. We hear about his shift, come follow me. But Jesus loved him again and again. We don't know when Jesus called him Matthew. But at a certain point, the shift was in the name that he was given. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew, he never refers to himself by Levi. He only refers to himself by the name Matthew, which means God's gift. He looked at this guy, Levi, Jesus did. He didn't care what the culture had to say. He didn't care what the world had to say. He didn't care what the religious scholars had to say. He only listened to the voice of God because he, through the Spirit of God, Jesus, God in flesh, said, "You're a gift of God. I see that. I see that." We get to do that. Moms, you get to do that. I know you have rough days and everything else, but you get the opportunity to look and say, "That's my child." And I have to say what Tani said. It was so powerful. We've been saying this for the last number of weeks. Listen to God. What has God called you? What's your name? What is the name that he may have given to your child? And if God gives you that, call it out of them, okay? Call it out of them. You may be near someone at work. You may be near someone in a school situation. You may be near someone in other situations, and God will give you opportunities like Jesus took with Levi, and you will see in their heart who they are. Call it out of them. The world wants to judge and condemn. We're not going to do that. We are a people fully and wholly different from that. So I just... Man, thank you, Tani, so much. We just, I was thinking, like, what am I going to say? Here's the thing, reason that Jesus looked at Levi and said, "You are the gift of God, Matthew." Because do you know that there are In Matthew, there are five teaching discourses. One of them is the Sermon on the Mount. We would not have that if it wasn't for Matthew being a tax collector who liked to record things. And my guess is he listened to Jesus and recorded that even before he was called Matthew. So people are on a journey. And they may be here. You may be here. But with God, what was it again? Limits off. We say everyone welcome here. Nobody's perfect. And we say anything's possible. And we believe that. Your situation is not something that you need to cope with. It is something that you hope with and call in the reality of God to it. As you pray, whatever it may be. I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to close with this song that some of you know. I've been writing this book. It will be published here soon. It's called The Good Marriage. I was talking to my editor this week and was sharing this, and I was sharing about this song that Josiah has written that's kind of wrecked me every time I hear it. And she said to me, you know, make sure you send me that live stream service. I really want to see it. So who knows what God will do. But I just was so impressed with even her response when I send this to her. She called back and just, that's powerful. I love how Josiah nails our job of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to be loved by Jesus in this song. So I'd ask you to listen and then I'll close.
The shape of your heart is what should really matter. Is it full? Is it whole? Is it doors and windows to your soul? The world is a painful place sometimes. It spares your feelings a little, but it heralds your insecurities a lot. Love says we lost the plot. You are worth it. Second, you are joy's poetry. Third, you are love like a wonder. And finally, you are somebody, somebody who is more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. Heard that you are just worth little. Learn that you were left out again. Sorted, labeled, judged, and opinioned. I would sit with you and be your friend. I would say, hey, first, you are worth it. Second, you are joy's poetry. Third, you are love like a wonder. And finally, you are somebody, somebody who is more than enough. Gold isn't all of us. It is worth so much to find the gold in someone else. Just look a little past the soul's mask and you will see a person who is true. Second, you are joy's poetry. Third, you are loved like a wonder. And finally, you are somebody, somebody who is more than enough, more than enough, more than enough.
Said it, you're worth it. You're more than enough. He loves you. And you get to also look in past the masks of others and call out that more than enough in them. So let's do that. Moms, we love you. Thank you. What a wonderful day to celebrate together. Thank you for being a part of this. There are some books I think you have available. Is that right? And you could, if someone would want them, you can come up and talk to Tani. They also want to just mention to you that at the end here, in the corner over here, would be prayer for anyone who'd like prayer. We also have the Next Step booth. If you are visiting or been here for a few weeks and you want to know more about what's going on, please check that out. Let's pray. Father, you are a more than enough God, and you have made us in a way that when you live and move through us, you have made us more than enough, not because of who we are, but because of what you have done for us and the love that you've expressed on the cross. Even in the midst of our worst, you bring out our best, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.